This is Doug Miller. Well, poor old Paul, he just cannot seem to stay out of trouble, can he? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back one more time, this side of eternity with the Word of God in hand, knowing indeed that the Lord will always bless His Word, that He, through the power of His Holy Spirit, will always exalt His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are privileged to simply be a part of this by the grace of God. Because He's the one that saved us, He's the one that called us, and He is the one who has opened up this ministry to dialogue. And if you're out there involved in any kind of ministry for the Lord Jesus, you can thank God for it, because He's the one that opened that up for you. And I hope that applies to all of you. Now, we are in the, actually in the 22nd chapter of the book of Acts. We will begin with... we'll begin it with verse 25. That's kind of where we left off last time. So we'll begin there again. And so bring your Bibles, come along, open up to Acts 22, and call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. You are, as you've heard me say many times on here, the only advertising agents that we have. You are our admin. And, of course, that's the way I think the Lord wants it, and that's the way it will go on being. Now, I always say this at the beginning, but here it comes again. Dialogue is brought to you every time at this week by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out. And, of course, to that end, we require your prayers. If you want to do anything for a dialogue, if there's anything in this ministry that you say that is good and I need to be helping out, pray for dialogue. Tell others about us as well. But pray for dialogue, because without your prayers, we will fall flat. Go astray and everything else. What we are doing here has nothing to do with any particular gift or talent or skill that I have or that anyone in Dialogue Ministries can bring to bear on this subject. This is strictly a Spirit-led and a God-empowered ministry, and we are utterly dependent on the people of the Lord. So pray for dialogue, and also we would always love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222-73083. Oh, that's Edmond, Oklahoma. Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, Paul Sublett will give it to you at the end of the broadcast, and he'll do a better job of it than I just did. So keep your writing materials handy. If you wish to email, our email address is dialogueministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. If you wish to pull down our webpage and look at it, Dialogue Ministries, all small letters, all one word, .org. And finally, if you wish to call and talk to me, I'd be happy to talk to you. The number, area code 405-535-9089. That's 535-9089. And there's no secretary here waiting to take your call. You will get a recording, and I will get back with you. Now, you may have perceived already that I am not exactly 100% right now. Of course, you might be sitting there saying, well, Miller, I've been listening to you for years, and I don't know when you were 100%. Well, I suppose that's true as well, but I've got some problems right now. I've got some kind of virus that's plaguing me, or maybe these are allergies. I don't know, but my throat is kind of scratchy, and I am, of course, praying that I will get through this broadcast, and I hope that you will bow your heads and very quickly pray for me as well. All right, enough. Let's get into the Word of God. Let's see what we have here. I think you'll find it very interesting. Before we go to Acts, I wish to read from 2 Corinthians 11. Let's see what Paul says about himself. And I'm beginning in verse 23. In labors more abundant. Now, this is Paul describing himself. If you are inclined to say, well, he kind of sounds like he's bragging, perish the thought. That is not what he's doing. Not that Paul wasn't capable of bragging. I'm sure that he was as capable of that as anyone else. He was a sinner saved by grace, just like I am, just like you are. But in this case, we have the Word of God. We have an apostolic statement here. And he is guided by the Holy Spirit. And this is the Holy Spirit saying, put it down. In labors more abundant. More abundant than whom? Well, more abundant than any of the others out there who were being critical of him at this time. You have to go back and read the whole passage here to put it in context. But Paul was, during his life, constantly being dogged by and harassed by and hassled by people who thought of themselves as some sort of spiritual giants. And they were always after Paul and saying that he wasn't a legitimate apostle, saying that he didn't really know the truth, saying that he was some kind of deceiver. So here Paul is comparing himself to them, or rather, once again, the Holy Spirit is comparing Paul to them. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 striped, save one. Now, this is not good. When you think about this, this is a terrible beating that this man took. 5 times, he says. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Well, think about that one. This business of caning. You remember the kid in Singapore that was arrested and charged with some kind of disorderly conduct, and they were going to cane him. Oh, this has been 10 years or so ago. This is not easy. 3 times, Paul says. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Well, we know about that one. We've read about that one in Acts 16 when we were in it. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Now, we know some of these. We know the shipwreck that he was involved in when he went to Rome. There were 2 others. And this is, he is writing this to the Corinthians, and this is before he ever went to Rome. So I take it that the one he experienced on his way to Rome at the end of Acts, which we haven't gotten to yet, I take it that that was his 4th shipwreck. A night and a day he was in the deep. So he goes on here and he says, in journeyings, often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen or the ethnon. These are the Gentiles, of course. In perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches, of all the churches, who is weak, and I am not weak, who is offended, and I burn not. Now, there's a reason I read that to you. Let's go back to Acts now. Paul, as we shall see presently here, is about to be beaten again. Now, I don't, you know, and if Paul has reached the point here of saying, I'm not putting up with any more of this, I can certainly sympathize with him. Because here is a man who had been beaten many times. When we left off last week here at the in about the 25th chapter, or at the end of the 24th, we have a Roman centurion. He has taken Paul into custody. He took him away from the Jews, actually, which we saw last time, who were going to kill him. They were going to kill him. These guys are mad, and they do not mind a little murder now and then, particularly for religious reasons. And let me tell you right now that religion is a terrible thing. If you don't believe that, just take a look around you at what's going on in our world right now. In the name of their religion, we have people out there blowing up synagogues, blowing up embassies, attacking ships, you know, committing mass murder by means of suicide bombings and so on and so forth. And they're doing it in the name of religion because there is something going on that offends their sense of their religion. People have never been any different, have they? Well, let me tell you all something, and this is just a little side trip, and you can put this in the bank. Anyone who goes out and commits mass murder and thinks that he is doing God's will, you can just be guaranteed that that man is mistaken, that woman is mistaken, they are in gross error. I don't care who they are or what they are. I don't care if they are Christian, Muslim, Jew, Hindu, committing violence, expressing hatred against people because of their religion is right out of the pit. It is not from God at all. And that's exactly what these individuals were involved in here. The Lord Jesus, before he went away, told his disciples, the day is coming when those who kill you will think they are doing God a service. Well, here they are. Here they are. And, of course, Paul was involved in this very thing earlier on himself, wasn't he? We saw that. He was out killing and murdering and maiming and throwing people into prison and thinking that he was serving God. And now it's come back on him, and here he is. And this centurion takes him in, and we see in verse 25 that he's about to scourge him. Why is he about to scourge him? Well, so that he could try to figure out what's going on. Well, I guess that's one way of doing it. Thankfully, we don't generally do it that way in our society nowadays. Take a man in, lock him up. You want to find out what the problem is, just beat him half to death. Keep beating him until he tells you the truth. Well, Paul, at this point, I think reacts very predictably. And once again, I want you to think about what we read back there in 2 Corinthians, because Paul says to this centurion, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? Now, this is the second time in the book of Acts, as we have watched his career and watched his travels, that we have seen Paul appealing to someone on the basis of his Roman citizenship. We're going to see it again later on. The other time was in verse 16, where he was stoned. And that time he was in Philippi, as you will recall, and it was the Philippians that had thrown him in prison. And that time, you know, they sent down, said, all right, turn them loose. And Paul said, no, we're not going. They took us, Roman citizens, didn't try us, didn't even condemn us, had nothing against us, threw us in prison, and now they want us to quietly go our way and fade away into the sunset. We're not going to do it. Tell them to come down and take us out of prison. Well, when these Philippians heard, as you will recall, that this man was, that these men were Roman citizens, it scared them. Boy, they came down with fear and trembling and started being real nice, because the Romans had this thing about what you did to Romans. Now, let me say this about the Romans. The Romans had an interesting way, I think, of keeping order in the places where they went, and they took over a country, and they extended Roman citizenship to people. Not to all of them, of course, but to freeborn men, they extended Roman citizenship. And that gave them all the rights of a Roman. And the Romans had a pretty good conception of the law and what the law should be and should be doing and how people's rights should be protected under the law. And, of course, as all of you out there know, I'm sure we have taken many of our legal positions and our legal stances from the Romans. So here they, and Paul, when the, look at verse 26 now of Acts 22, when the centurion heard that he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, this man is a Roman. You had better be careful. Well, so much for these Romans beating Paul. They're not going to do it now, are they? The captain comes down and says to him, are you a Roman? And he, that is Paul, said, yea. The chief captain answered, with a great sum I obtained this freedom, or this citizenship is the word in Greek. Poteleion, citizenship. And Paul said, but I was freeborn. Freeborn Roman. So straightway then we notice they departed from him, which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid after he knew that he was a Roman, because he had bound him. I mean, even putting bonds on this guy without a trial, without an accusation, without confronting him with witnesses, without giving him a chance to speak for himself, just to bind him and bring him down and say, all right, we're going to scourge him to find out what's going on. These guys were afraid, because this could have gotten them in an awful lot of trouble. Well, it didn't, but it might have. Well, let's see what else we have. On the morrow, because he would have known the certainty wherefore he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before them. All right. Now, this is what he should have done in the first place. He didn't do it, but he's, as I say, he's kind of scared, and he's going to make up for it now. He says, okay, now he issues orders and commands. You chief priests, those of you who were beating on this man and who were wanting him killed, and who, you come down here and you tell me why. You tell me why. So Paul's going to get his chance now to speak for himself, to answer for himself, and that before his accusers. Well, let's take a look at it. We've got some time left here, so let's just go right on into chapter 23. We won't have time to get very far into it, and we'll take it up again, Lord willing, next time. But right now, let's just take a look at what we have in chapter 23, because the chief priests and the council, I mean, they had their own lawyers and their spokesmen and so forth. They came down, and there stands Paul, and here they are, and here the Roman authorities are. And Paul, in chapter 23, verse 1, earnestly beholding the council, the word here is the word for Sanhedrin, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Now, that is an interesting thing to be able to say. I couldn't say it. And I think it's interesting that Paul says it, because we know about Paul's past, don't we? We know what he did before he was ever saved to the church and to these believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are might be left to wonder exactly what he's talking about. We know in 1 Corinthians 15, and we know in other places in the Scriptures, that he expresses great remorse for how he persecuted the church and what he did to believers. And he expresses that remorse here in the book of Acts, even later on. So we know that he didn't lead a perfect life. So what he is saying here is simply this: you Jews, listen to me. I have done nothing in my life contrary to the faith into which I was born, into which you were born, in what I was raised in and educated and raised up to be. I have lived all of my life in agreement with that, and I have not done anything that deviated from that. Now, interesting, isn't it? Here is a man who he gives his pedigree in other places, doesn't he? In the book of Philippians, for example, in the 3rd chapter, he runs down the list. I am Jewish. I am Hebrew, out of the tribe of Benjamin. He was educated at the feet of Gamaliel in Jerusalem. He was a Pharisee. And I personally am persuaded that Paul spent his entire life living as a Jew. He was not a Gentile. He never pretended to be a Gentile. And we've already seen him getting into trouble, I think, because of his insistence on keeping the law as it was delivered by Moses unto Israel. And I think that's what he's talking about here. Now, Paul never, let me just say this, make sure that you all understand, Paul never, ever told any Gentile, guys like me, that we should live according to the Mosaic law. I'm not under these dietary restrictions. I am not here to keep the Sabbath. I am not here to go through all of the washings and the ritualism and all of the things that the Mosaic law put on these Jewish people. But Paul says, I've done it. Well, we've got the high priest here. And this is Ananias. And in verse 2, he commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Huh, that's a good one. You don't like what someone says, just hit him in the mouth. That's what you do. Yeah, well, I don't think that's a very nice way to do things, and neither did Paul think it was. And we are at a point where we're going to have to stop, and we will take this up again the next time. But let me ask all of you something. As you sit there listening to me today, how does it strike you that Paul, a man who was a Jew, would be in this position that he's in today? What have you suffered as a believer for the sake of the Lord Jesus? Think about it. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.